Good morning, everyone. I'm loud and clear, I think. For those who don't know me, my name is Ali, one of the elders of the church. If you've never met me before, that's because I spend most of my time in Chester Street, which is a few miles north of here. And as always, please keep praying for us. We're one church and two congregations. God's adding to us, slow and steady growth, but that's better than no growth. And so just keep praying that happens and that we see people saved over this second year of the life of the congregation over there. And we're going through this series, Walking by the Spirit, at the moment. And we're going to start this morning by watching a film clip in a moment. And it's from this film, Big Daddy. Anyone here seen it, heard of it? It is a classic. It's a great film. I like it a lot. Adam Sandler, who you either love or hate, I like him. I think he's good. And he's funny. And he's a 32-year-old man called Sonny, who spent the whole of his life trying to avoid responsibility. And then suddenly one day his girlfriend dumps him for another man, and so he's got to try to grow up, or to look like he's growing up, and that he's ready for a relationship. And so in a last-ditch, desperate effort to impress her, he pretends he's the dad of a 5-year-old boy called Julian. And it all goes pretty badly. He doesn't fulfill his responsibilities very well, and he makes a mess of it. And it ends, well, it's towards the end, we see him in a court case where we hear him making this impassioned speech about his duty as a dad towards Sonny. So if we could watch the film clip, that would be great. Much better to listen to me than watch that film, surely. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we can come before you this morning. Thank you for the way you've met with us already. Thank you for your wonderful, beautiful presence of your Spirit, Lord. And thank you that you're here now. And God, we're looking at a significant subject this morning, and I pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts, that you would do a deep work in us, Lord. We say, here we are, Lord. We're yours. Maybe some of us here, we're not Christians. This is the first time we've even maybe tried praying. I just challenge you. Just say, God, if you're real, I'm here. Speak to me. Amen. So here's a dad in this film who's making pretty big commitments. He says, I will not fail at this, being a father. I can't. I love this kid too much. I would die for this kid. But the reality is, Adam Sandler is kidding himself. Because all parents fail at times. All parents make mistakes. Sometimes we pretend that parenting is easy, and we put on this kind of, or people can pretend, and we put on these masks thinking, oh yeah, I've got it, I can go through. And actually, we need to be honest with one another and say, this is hard. Just in case you're wondering, Claire and I fail at being parents. I know it's hard to believe, but we fail at being parents, and we find it hard because it is hard. Because the reality is, raising children is a gift from God, but it's a hard thing to do. And we live in an imperfect world, and so that means that each one of us will have had, in some ways, at least some negative experiences of parenting. Even if we had the best parents in the world, there will be mistakes, there will be hurts that are caused. We live in a world where we hurt one another because we're imperfect people, and that happens probably more than anywhere in the close-knit community of a family. We hurt one another. Parents are very imperfect, and I came across these pictures online, which show something of the imperfections of parenting. You could call them big parenting fails. This is when family photos go wrong. This is when you've realized you've been on your phone too much. This is when you decorate the wrong thing. And my favorite of all, this is when you're too busy shopping in IKEA. And that was a humorous look at parenting, but in all seriousness, it is an emotive topic because, and I'm going to come off that so we can get a bit more serious. there we are, onto a blank screen, that's good. Because some of us here will be parents this morning, and we're parents who feel we've, maybe it's a reality, maybe it's just a perception, that we've really, either in the past or right now in the present, have let or are letting our children down. And so as a result, some of us, when we think of parenting, we actually feel guilty because we think, I've not lived up to the mark that I know I should have done as a parent. And if you're in that group of people, I want to speak the love and the compassion of God to you today, because there is grace, there is forgiveness, and the reality is we're all in the same boat. We're imperfect people, whether it's in parenting or any other aspect of life, where we make mistakes, we fail, we fall, and God comes as our perfect Father and lifts us up and says, just go again. There's forgiveness of the past. Look ahead. But others of us will be people who have been affected by our parents in negative ways in the past, whether they know it or not. Maybe, you know, we live in the reality is the generation, my generation and below, in many ways, are known as the generation of broken homes and of absent fathers particularly, but absent parents often. And so the result of that is we get hurt. And maybe we're at a stage of life where we know that actually things that have happened in the past through our parents have now damaged us right now. And into both of those two contexts, I want to declare the biblical picture, the biblical truth, that God is the perfect Father. The only perfect Father. That's how he reveals himself above all else in the Bible, as Father. You know, even if we had the greatest role model of a father on this earth, he would have been nothing compared to the perfect Father that is our Father God in heaven. And so we need to not place even our good models of Father on him. We need to try to understand who God is and see who he is as revealed in Scripture as the model of what a perfect Father is. And then all other images come from that. Before God even created the world, he was a Father loving his Son eternally, through the person of the Holy Spirit. John 17 verse 24 says, Father, this is Jesus speaking, you loved me before the creation of the world. Before the creation of the world, God the Father loved his Son perfectly, completely, fully, never failing him, never letting him down. There was no hurt in Jesus because he was never hurt by his Father. And then at Jesus' baptism, we get this beautiful picture, and it's right at the beginning of his ministry. This is important to understand, that the baptism of Jesus happens, and this declaration that he receives happens before he does anything impressive on the earth. God the Father says, you are my Son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. And that's before he's done anything impressive. He's a beloved Son, just because he is. And the big message above all else I would love you to take away from this morning is that if you're a Christian, or if to this morning for the first time you say, yeah, I want this, I'm gonna enter into this, then you have been united by the Spirit with Jesus. And so that means the declaration that Jesus, the Son of God, received from his Father, you are my Son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased, is a declaration now you can receive. Not partially, but completely. You're in Christ. The Spirit's united you to Christ. And so what Jesus has, you now have. That's the mystery of the cross. An exchange happened on the cross where Jesus took all of my filth and all of your filth, all of the stuff we've done wrong, all of the things we've been hurt, even by our parents, and all of the times we've let even our children down. Jesus took all of that upon himself. And in exchange, he gives us what he is. He gets what we are, what we've done, and we get what he is. That is sonship. That's why the Bible uses this word sonship, not because it's kind of biased between men and women, but because we're in Christ, the Son now. So we're sons and daughters, but we're sons in Christ with him, of God the Father. You're my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Can you hear the Father saying it? Because we need to. We need to. Because it breaks into the brokenness and messiness of our worlds with perfection, with perfect love, which casts out all fear. I don't know if I'd grabbed you on the door when you came in and just not let you move until you answer this question, and said, what is a Christian? I don't know how you would have answered me. Some of you might have said, someone who comes to church, I'm a Christian, thanks, I'm coming in this building, and here I am, I'm a Christian. Woof, made it. Got here. I'm a Christian still. Some of you might have said, well, someone who prays. Maybe you might have said, someone whose sins are forgiven. And they're all in different, particularly that last one, they're all have a ring of truth about them. I'm not saying any of that is wrong, but that is, all of those answers are insufficient. Because right at the heart of who a Christian is someone who is adopted into the family of God. I think the first thought that should come to our mind when we think, who is a Christian, is an adopted son, an adopted daughter of Father God. Because if we're not careful, we just think about what we've been taken out of. I've been taken out of sin. I've been taken out of death. This is all good stuff. I've been taken out of the clutches of Satan. This is all good stuff, which is true. But what have we been saved into? We've been saved into the family of God. We've been saved into sonship. That means it's not just about, oh, I've escaped all of that bad stuff. We've now got a life full of adventure, a life full of affirmation from our Father, a life of security where we know who we are. That's what we've been saved into. That's amazing. And I just love this image of adventure, because I think sometimes Christianity, if we're not careful, it can just become this thing we do. It's a duty. Maybe some of us feel, oh, here we are again. It's another Sunday, another morning. I've got to pray. I've got to read my Bible. I've got to do this, that, and the other. But it's an adventure when we realize we're going with Dad. He's taking us by the hand and saying, come on, what are we going to do today? What aspect of this beautiful world I've given you as a gift are we going to explore? What faith adventure are we going to enter into today? That's how we should look at our Christian lives. Not just as someone who's escaped hell, escaped sin, escaped all this stuff, but someone who has entered into an adventure-filled life with a Father God. Jim Packer says this. He says, if you want to know how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means he doesn't understand Christianity well at all. Adoption is the highest blessing of the gospel. Is God as Father how we orientate our whole Christian lives? Is that kind of just how, that needs to be how we get into our kind of praying, our worshipping, our everyday living, is as a son, a daughter of Father God. So we get this beautiful image, don't we, in the Bible of the father looking out for his son who's gone away from the home, taken his inheritance, made a mess of it. And the father's looking out and he's looking out and he's desperate for his son to return. And then he goes, when he sees him, he runs out to him, he embraces him, he kisses him, he puts a ring on his finger and he throws a massive party for him. I love that image. I love that story. Because it's the story of every one of us. And it is the story at the heart of the gospel. Father God is looking out upon this world and he is longing for lost sons and daughters to return home to him. And he runs out to us. Even this morning, maybe some of us, yeah, we're Christians, but we've gone away. God the Father's running out to us as he sees us now just in this room getting ready to return. He sees us and he's running out to us and he wants to embrace us and to kiss us and to throw a party for us. That's the kind of extravagant, loving father he is. He's not distant. He's not cold. He's not abusive. He's not, you've let me down one too many times. He's not someone who places a bar up here and if you don't achieve, then, well, you know what's going to happen. And just for the remaining time this morning, I want to look at two consequences of what it means to be adopted as God's children. What it means to really have God as Father. One is intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. If we truly grasp that as a Christian, I'm adopted into God's family, that he is my Father, then it means that Christianity is not fundamentally about knowing a load of stuff. That's theology. Very good, I highly recommend it. But that's not the heart of Christianity. And Christianity isn't fundamentally about doing a load of stuff. That's religion. I don't recommend it. And I recommend doing stuff for God, but not certainly not with that being the primary thing about what your life's about. Doing, 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 doing. But actually, it's about experiencing God. It's about experiencing the love of the Father day by day by day. I don't just want to know about him. I don't just want to do things for this God somewhere out there. I want to know him. I want to love him. I want to know his deep delight over me. And out of the overflow of that, I will do the stuff. I will want to go to the world and tell them how great this God is. Please, Lord, give me that intimacy. That's why in Romans 8, which is the passage I was meant to read at the beginning and forgot to, but we're now going to get to, finally, you'll be thankful. Romans 8, we'll read the section I was going to read. Verses 13 to 17, it says this. Sorry, 14 to 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we're heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Wow. One of the most beautiful passages in the whole of the Bible, I think. And verse 15, just to reiterate, you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That word cry is a really deep experiential word. It's a heartfelt thing. It's not just sort of Abba Father. It's Abba Father. We can't do it by ourselves. By the Spirit. This is why this is all about. It's the Spirit who adopts us. It's the Spirit who enables us to cry Abba Father. We need the Holy Spirit for all of this stuff. Abba is the Aramaic word for father. So it's Abba Aramaic, and then it just translates it into Greek in the original language, father. So why does Paul do that? Why does he put it in Aramaic and then put it in Greek? He does it, I think, because Aramaic was the language Jesus spoke, and he sent the very same word that Jesus used to address his Father, the eternal Son of God, who has been loved by the Father and loved the Father forever, is the same way that you can address this God Almighty in heaven. The holy, holy, holy one we sang about earlier. You can address him in that way. There's way, because we're in Christ. It's not Jesus has this sort of relationship and we have a bit. We have the ability to have that same relationship with the Father in Christ that he has. Abba, Father, Dad, you're amazing. The God who created the universe, I can know as my dad. By the Spirit. Every moment of every day, he welcomes me into his court, the courts of the King of Kings. In those most stressful moments, I can come into the courts and say, Dad, you know what's going on right now. Help me to know that intimate relationship with you. Help me to know you in this, not to know about you, your father, to know you deeply in this. In those times of deepest suffering, he says, I'm your dad. Who's with you. You can experience my love and my presence in the midst of this. Abba, Father. In the times of great rejoicing, he says, I'm rejoicing with you in this. Oh, wow, you're my son, you're my daughter, and I love it when my son and my daughter excels in this way, or does this, or steps out in this way. Abba, Father. You see, knowing about Father God is pretty much basic Christianity. It's one of those, you know, Christianity 101. God, in the Apostles' Creed, it's there right at the start. He's the Father. Tick it off the list. Yes, I know it. I know it. I know it. But that's not what it's about. It's about experiencing it. Abba, Father, crying, Abba, Father. And there's a story I've said before. I'll say it again because you may well have forgotten it, and it's a good story, I think, of this man in... A couple who have a child, and then the man has to go off to fight in World War II for 5 years. And so every night while the father's away, the mum gets a photo of his father, and it's on the mantelpiece. And every night she tells her son to go to the photo of the father and to give him a kiss goodnight and then go to bed. And then 5 years later, the father returns. And the mum says to the son, go and give your dad a kiss goodnight. And so the son gets out of bed, goes to the mantelpiece and kisses the photo of his dad. I think that's a picture of how we can live as Christians. We settle for second-hand knowledge of God as Father. Yeah, I know he's Father. I'll kiss the photo. I'll kiss the Bible. I'll kiss whatever. But actually, we don't truly experience him. We don't allow him by his Spirit to embrace us and say, you are mine. I love you. I'm with you. Lord, please, would we have that? Please, would we have that? Let's not settle for second-hand knowledge. The Holy Spirit needs to fall afresh on us this morning, and hopefully we'll have time at the end to affirm that and to say, allow us to cry Abba Father again. Some of us need to experience it for ourselves for the first time, maybe. Or maybe it's grown dull in our hearts. And the second implication I wanted to draw from what it means to be adopted into God's family is that we have security from God. Verse 16 in that passage goes on to say, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit bears witness, testifies into our deepest place, into our spirit, that we are children of God. Some of us need to hear the Spirit testify that to us this morning. Because what we can do in our culture, and probably most cultures, certainly in our culture, that's what I know of, is that we live in this performance mentality thing. Where if we're not careful, we put on a mask and we think, well, my life's kind of together because I want people to see a good version of me. And we project to everyone else the best version of ourselves. And we compare ourselves with other people all the time, saying, well, I've got to be up with that person. They're my standard. I've got to reach that. And if I fall short and I feel guilty, I feel bad. That is so common in our world. And it's a lack of security. It's deep insecurity about who we are. And so into that insecurity, you need the Holy Spirit to testify, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. As I hear, I'm a child of God, you're 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 a child of God, deep to my deepest place, confidence comes. The right kind of confidence, humble confidence. Because it's a gift, it's not because you're special. It's a gift from God. And the ability to not always compare with other people starts to come. And just to be secure in who I am, in all of my flaws and failings, the Spirit says I'm a child of God. Deep peace comes. Lord, I want that peace. Because I compare myself way too much with other people. I really want that peace that comes from knowing I'm a child. There's a missionary I've spoken of before called Heidi Baker in Mozambique. And she tells a story of a child named Ramadan who came to live with them in their children's home in Mozambique. And he had a, like most of the children who are orphans, had a chaotic background and was abused when he was younger. And he came in, and when he first came into that children's home, he was biting other children, he was kicking them, he was fierce, and it wasn't very nice. But what she said to him was, because one thing he never had was, and they all like it, apparently, out there, is Coca-Cola, the drink. And so she said to him, this fridge in my house is full of Coca-Cola, and you can, anytime you want, come in and grab one of these drinks. It's yours. But he never did. Every night she would put him to bed, she would sing to him and pray with him. But every night, every day, he still had this kind of, I'm not worthy to be able to even go to this person's fridge and take this drink of Coke. But then one day, she saw him go over to the fridge, take a bottle of Coke and drink it. And she says that the expression on his face was one of joy and peace that he'd never had before. Because finally, it clicked. I'm accepted. I'm welcome. I have full access to this fridge. It's mine. Because I'm a son. I'm adopted as a son. Not second class, but a son. And some of us need the Spirit this morning to testify to our spirits that we're children of God, that it actually clicks. I have full access. I now have authority in Christ. I now can go to the fridge. I can take out the love of God. I can take out joy and peace. I can take out confidence from that fridge. I can know who I am, and out of that, joy and peace will come. That's what God wants to offer us this morning. This morning, really, in summary, is all about identity. Who am I? 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 Is the question we're all asking all the time. We might not actually verbalize it, but it's just all over the place. Underneath all sorts of situations is that question of who am I? What defines me? You might say, well, I'm an employee, I'm a mum, I'm a dad, I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm single, I'm black, I'm white, I'm British, I'm African, etc., etc., etc. So many labels you could put on yourself when someone says, who are you? But our first response must be, I'm a daughter, I'm a son of God. That's who I am. You can think what you like about the job I do and the great education or lack of education I have, or the amount of money I have, or the lack of money I have, but I'm a son and I'm a daughter of God, and that's all that matters. That's all that counts. Can we stand? And if at least Raymond or whoever, the whole band, whoever it's up to you, comes. In that film, just close your eyes if that's okay. In that film clip, Adam Sandler said, I will not fail at this. I can't. I would die for this kid. He failed. We all fail. But there is one Father who makes that declaration over us this morning. I will not fail at this. I can't. I would die for this kid. And quite literally, that is what God has done for us. In the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Not some separate person, but this is God himself. The Father was involved as the Son came and died on that cross. God gave himself for us in Jesus. That's how much he loves you. And so I feel there's three categories of people. One is someone who says, actually, I've not ever really accepted this invitation. I'm not really a Christian. Maybe people think I am, but I'm not really a Christian. I've never accepted this invitation into relationship with Father God. Please, just say yes this morning. I'm not going to lead a big prayer. You can just say, yes, I want that, Lord. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. And then tell someone about it afterwards, please. Great if you tell me, but tell someone else if you want to. Others of us are Christians, but that experience, that intimacy with Father God has gone away. It's like we know about him, we tick it off a list, we know all the stuff. But God by the Spirit wants to fall on us again and say, help us to cry, Abba, Father, Dad. And others of us are putting on masks all the time. We're pretending. We've got this performance mentality. We want to achieve. We want other people to see us as good. We're comparing ourselves with others. There's that insecurity in us. And you need the Spirit to come to you and to testify to your spirit this morning that you're a child of God. You're a child. You're a child. The Father says, I love you. I accept you as you are. So Holy Spirit, would you fall on us now? Holy Spirit, come. Maybe just put your hands out and just say, Father, we all need to respond in some way to one of those things, in some aspect of them. Father, I receive your Spirit afresh. Fill me. Fill me. Fill me. Cast out fear in the name of Jesus. Cast out insecurity in the name of Jesus. Deep within us, Holy Spirit, would you testify? just allow the Holy Spirit to come on you. We're not going to rush to sing, we'll sing in a moment, but just allow the Spirit to come on you. He's here. He's so tender. This is the Spirit of Father God. And he's so tender. He just wants to whisper. But it's a powerful whisper. You're so welcome, Holy Spirit. You're so welcome, Holy Spirit. Yeah. You call this a word of knowledge, or you could just call it common sense, but whatever it is, I really feel there's some people here where when I talked about feeling a failure in parenting. Maybe it's something from the past. It could have been 20 years ago when you had young children, or it could be right now. And I feel God really, really, really wants to speak to you this morning. And just to pick you up. And just to say to you, I am the perfect parent. And actually, it might not sound very encouraging, but I feel he would say to you, you are a bit of a failure, yeah. So is everyone. You have made a bit of a mess of it. But you can entrust your children into my care. Because I am the perfect father. I make up for your insufficiencies. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. We're just going to sing the band again. Feel free just to keep receiving from God. If you want prayer, please come to my left, your right, or whichever, yeah, that'll do. And the ministry team members will be there if that's okay. But you might just want to receive where you are. But if you really feel, actually, I just need someone to stand with me and just to pray for the Spirit to come upon me in this new way, please do come. That would be great.